Good evening. Good evening. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome to the Mount Carmel Bible College and Theological Seminary located in New York. This is Bishop Dr. Wayne Spence. For prayer requests or questions, please text me at 516-757-9274 or email me at mountcarmelbiblecollege1@gmail.com. Or you can visit us on the website at https://mountcarmelfullgospel.net/Bible College. Join us on Zoom every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for prayer and Bible study. Sunday mornings, 9:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. for worship experience. Check our website for upcoming spring classes. Coming this summer, The Life and Epistle of the Apostle Peter. Classes begins June 29th. If you are interested, please text us at 516-757-9274. We are now looking at Revelation chapter 9, the 70th week in the book of Daniel. We are now looking at Revelation chapter 9. From the time the church leaves in Revelation 4 and 1, mankind will have traveled some dark days during the tribulation. But now the worst is now up on the people that have been left behind. These next events will be some of the most unmanageable and mind-boggling things we're going to study. Unless John tells us otherwise, we must take all of these things that are written in the book literally. We now begin the coverage, the last 3.5 years of what the Old Testament prophet Daniel called the 70th week, the Great Tribulation. The Bible tells us that these will be the blackest days in human history. Revelation chapter 9 and 1 says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven upon the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." We have already witnessed two other stars falling. These two other stars were meteors that fell to the earth. But this particular star is different. This star is alive, which we know is Satan. And not only is he alive, but he also acts with intelligence. And he is given the key from God for the bottomless pit, according to Revelation 9 and 11. "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon." The Greek tense in verse 1 is not fall, which speaks to the present, but is past tense and says falling, as we see in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. The Bible reads, "How art thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the earth, which did weakest the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Verse 14, "I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." Satan's fall came because of pride. He wanted to be equal with God. Jesus said to his 70 disciples in Luke chapter 10 and 18, he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." The falling one, Satan, is presented by God with the key to the bottomless pit, and he used it, as we see in Revelation chapter 9 and 2. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." The term bottomless pit does not refer to one who has a voluptuous appetite, but instead the literal Greek renders it the pit of the abyss. The term is found 9 times in the New Testament. In each case, it is a place to restrain certain beings which have come under the judgment of God. For instance, when Christ went into the country of the Gadarenes, he met a certain man who had legion of demons. The demons within the man pleaded with the Lord in Luke chapter 8 and 31. The Bible said, and they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. Their dread and terror of the pit or the abyss was so great that they would rather go into swines than go into the pit. So the pit or the abyss speaks to us about a terrible, terrible place. This is where the Lord Jesus went during his 3 days between his death and resurrection to announce the accomplishment on the cross of Calvary. According to Revelation 1 and 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Ephesians chapter 4 and 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Then we have in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 22. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away, beloved, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Mankind have no business whatsoever going into the pit. We need to turn our lives over to the Lord. It seems as if I'm constantly throughout Revelation chapter 1 through chapter 8, and now I'm in chapter 9, constantly saying, give your heart to the Lord. Give your life to Jesus Christ. But this is what this entire book, the Bible, is about. It is about giving our lives to the Lord, and we need to do this before it's too late. How terrible, then, is the hour when the prison house of fallen angels will be finally open. The smoke ascending out of the pit will darken the sun and blacken and draw the very air, sucks out the oxygen, and mankind will be hardly able to breathe. Beloved, this is the ultimate pollution. This kind of pollution will be on a global scale. This has never been seen before. In Revelation chapter 9 and 3, the Bible says, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. These are not literal locusts. Their power is too great. They're not insects. They are most likely fallen angels who have been restrained, imprisoned in the bottomless pit since they've been thrown out of heaven. These wicked angels, these demons, these devils, those that have not been loosed on the earth. All these creatures, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 and 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. They are told what they can and cannot do. Revelation chapter 9 and 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. In chapter 7, we saw multitudes that are saved through the tribulation. These locusts, which are fallen angels, are not allowed to touch the sealed ones, only the unsealed, only those who have worshipped the beast and have accepted his number 666. Neither are the locusts allowed to kill the unsealed, which are the unsaved, which are all those that have rejected the blood of Jesus Christ, which are those people who are listening to the word of God over and over and over, and yet keep saying they are not ready. Those that keep saying they feel they have more time. Many will turn to drugs when they are stung or bitten by these weird creatures that are going around and tormenting mankind. Although many people won't die, these people that are being bitten will not die from their injuries. They will want to die, but they won't be able to die. And as a result, they will take more drugs to overcome the pain and to help them endure. But of course, these drugs also make them more susceptible to sin. The Antichrist will also use these sins to bring back mankind into subjection to himself. And because of the drug use, they will be easily lured in that day. Yet none of these severe judgments that God is sending into the earth will move the remaining unbelievers as a whole to repent. Man's heart is still hard no matter what they go through. Those who have decided they don't want Jesus Christ to interfere with their lives because you feel your life is fine the way it is. These fallen angels are permitted only to torture those that are left behind, not to kill them, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The moment you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, the moment you shut your hearts to the Lord, you are wide open for the big lie when it comes. This is the reason so many today fall for anything and everything that comes along. Yet the Bible said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but to try the spirit to see if that spirit is from God. If you're not standing on the unadulterated word of God, you will become an easy prey for any false prophet, any false teacher, any cult, or any doctrines of devils. Those that have received the mark of the beast, those that have made up in their minds that they will not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloveds, let me tell you, these demons are going to torture you. They won't kill you, but you're going to wish you could die. Revelation 9 and 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should torment them 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. What an agonizing time this will be for those that reject Jesus Christ. Will you reject him? Will you accept him today? Revelation 9 and 6. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The next four verses gives us a vivid description of these locusts who are fallen angels. Revelation 9 and 7. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. This then speaks of strength and speed. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. This speaks of royalty, a picture of conquerors. And their faces were as the faces of men. This speaks of intelligence. 8. And they had hair as the hair of women. This speaks of their attractiveness. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. This speaks of their cruelty. Verse 9. And they had breastplates, as it were a breastplate of iron. This speaks of their invincibility. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. This then speaks of the calamity for mankind. In Revelation 9 and 10, the Bible says, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. These facts reinforces the gruesome portrait of life upon the earth as the pit of the abyss is open and the convicts and criminals of the ages, the fallen angels, are released. The next verse clearly identifies the fallen star. Identify him as Satan, who is the leader of these perverted and wicked angels. Revelation 9 and 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. The king is named both in Hebrew and Greek. Abaddon is Hebrew, the term found only this one time in our English Bible, but it's found 6 times in the Hebrew Bible. In Job 26 and 6, the Bible said, hell is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. Job 28 and 22. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. In Job 31 and 12. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all my increase. Psalms 88 and 11. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? In Proverbs chapter 15 and 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? In Proverbs 27 and 20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The Greek name Apollyon means the destroyer, a word that certainly describes who Satan is. In Revelation 9 and 12, one woe is past, and behold, there comes 2 woes more hereafter. And the 6th angel sounded, verse 13, and I heard a voice from the 4 horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Verse 14, saying to the 6th angel, which had the trumpet, loose the 4 angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. As the 6th angel sounds, John hears a voice from the 4 horns of the golden altar, which is in the presence of God. Isn't it strange that many of the judgments are directly linked with God's program of atonement? Maybe this is because so many have rejected the message of the altar, which speaks of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Paul then warned the human race of the danger of refusing this teaching. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28, the Bible said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under 2 or 3 witnesses. Hebrews 10 and 29 says this, of how much sorer punishment, suppose he, shall he be taught worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Beloved, here we see the rejection of God's word always brings serious consequences. But before us is a scene where an altar, the only place where sin can be forgiven, and the horns of the altar actually touched by the blood of Jesus Christ unitedly cry out to God for judgment. Never treat the message of the precious blood of Jesus Christ lightly. Those who do will be sorry. Now, because so many of mankind have rejected the message about Jesus, the voice from the altar tells the 6th angel to loose the 4 angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. The fact that they're bound prove that they're fallen angels. those four who rebelled along with Lucifer at the time of the revolt. Isaiah 14:12-14 says this, "How art thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weakest the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." Beloved, once the church is safely in heaven, these four angels that are chained in the river Euphrates and all those that are in the pit of the abyss are going to be released upon the earth. Earlier, we saw four unfallen angels holding back the judgment of God in Revelation chapter 7:1. That reads, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." But now we see four wicked angels are set free to wreak havoc upon the earth. They are commanded to execute judgment in the area of the Euphrates River. This body of water runs through Iraq and Syria and will become the place for the battle of the ages in the future, which we know is called Armageddon. This part of the world where Satan performed his destructive works against Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was somewhere in that region. This is where sin began through one man. Death came into the world in that place. The first murder was committed there. The first war was fought there. There is where Noah's flood began and spread all over the earth. It is there that the Tower of Babel was erected. It is at that place that east and west are divided at the Euphrates. And to this era was brought the Israelite of the Babylonian captivity. Babylon was the fountainhead of idolatry. And here is the final surge of sin on the earth spoken about in Zechariah chapter 5, which identifies Babylon as the last stand for false religion. And this is where Satan's last stand will take place. According to Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 through 14, the Bible says, "And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Bendelum and the Anok stone. And the name of the second river is Gishon. The same is it that compass the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Ikadil, that which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Later, God made his unconditional covenant with Abram in this location, saying in Genesis 15:18, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. This particular land area belongs to Israel. And no one but Israel can claim it. No matter how many wars are fought, no matter how many people said it's theirs, God has deeded this property to Israel. To give you the proof, Exodus 23:31. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Deuteronomy 11:24. Every place whereon the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. Again, God said in Joshua 1 and 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. At one point in history, the Euphrates River became the boundaries of the old Roman Empire, which is being restored and will fall under the rule of the Antichrist in Revelation 13 and 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. This era will surely become a sore spot as history progresses, for it serves both the frontier of the Promised Land and the boundaries of the ten-toed Western Federation of Nations that produces the Antichrist, according to Daniel chapter 2, verse 40 and 41. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all things, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of pottery, clay, and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, Daniel chapter 7, 23 and 24. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Revelation 13 and 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name blasphemy. The destruction unleashed upon the earth by these four evil emissaries is described in Revelation 9 and 15. The Bible said, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Now, beloved, the population of the earth is presently 7,942,645,086 souls as of May 2021. In our study so far, we have seen a third number die under the right of the fourth, which is the pale horse. And the amount that died, 2,247,548,362 souls killed in the first part of the apocalypse. Yet, ironically, the people that are left alive refuse to stop worshiping demons who are responsible for their misery under the sixth trumpet judgment. We have been issued another warning because we are just now stop wearing masks. That does not mean COVID is gone anywhere. But as of May 17th, 2023, COVID had killed 6,932,591 souls died since COVID began. So can you imagine how awful this will be, considering what we experienced with COVID? And if we miss the rapture, we're looking at 2,247,548,362 souls to the number, because it's God that's saying it, that you will witness people dying everywhere. Remember, when COVID came and COVID was at the height, it's almost every 15 minutes you would hear an ambulance. Remember how we lived. We didn't know if we were going to live for the rest of the week. We woke up every day in fear of catching COVID. We didn't go out of our house. We wear gloves everywhere. We did all kind of stuff. Yet today we walk around and acclimate to COVID. Even though we know COVID is still in the land, we no longer care. This is mankind for you. No matter how many times God sent a warning, we find a way around it and begin to live with it. But there is a time coming, beloveds, where what's going to happen, you can't live with it. Within the first 3.5 years, over 2 billion died. Can you imagine? The worst is yet to come. Will you be left behind? Will you keep rejecting Jesus? Will you keep finding a reason to live the way you want to live? Revelation 6 and 8, the Bible says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. At this point in time, earth population has decreased by a significant amount. These four executioners are undoubtedly waiting to begin the drama of the ages. They are prepared and eagerly anticipating their scheduled timetable. I want you to remember the Euphrates River is in the Middle East territory and is the location of the present-day Iraq and Syria. This is the world's present and future tinderbox. War has always been in that area. Ezekiel 38 and 39 speak to us about this barbaric time when armies of the world come against the nation of Israel from the north. In Ezekiel 38, verses 15 and 16, and thou shalt come from the place out of the north part, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. And it shall be in the latter days, and I will bring against my land that the heathens may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. This is why Joel declared in Joel chapter 2 and 20, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and I will drive him into the land barren and desolate, with his face towards the east sea, and his hinder parts towards the uttermost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things. As we stated previously, Israel is mentioned as the battlefield of the world 18 different occasions in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapters 39. I ask you, beloveds, to make sure you go and review these two chapters. That's Ezekiel 38 and 39. There is no doubt that the Holy Land becomes the place of the greatest war in the annals of history. Now, the country that is north of Israel marches towards the Middle East during the tribulation hour, but is driven back to Siberia according to Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave both the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. Now notice she strengthens her forces and then returns to the land of Israel once again, knowing that the intensity of the offensive continues to increase until all nations become involved and are finally gathered together against Israel at Jerusalem. Zechariah 14 and 2 says, for I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the house raffled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. At this point, the battle of Armageddon takes place in Revelation 16 and 16. And he gathered them together in one place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. This war numbers the largest army in the history of mankind. Revelation 9 and 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. Think about it for a moment. It boggles the mind. 200 million soldiers. No wonder why the prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 38 and 16, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my people, that the heathens may know when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. The army advances in the latest and the best equipment according to Nahum chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. The shield of the mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. And the fire trees shall terribly shaken. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightning. Revelation 9, 17 through 19. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them have breastplates of fire, and jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Verse 18. By these three was a third part of men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. Verse 19. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. What was left after the four horsemen killed a third of mankind was 5,295,096,072 souls. And now another third is killed by these three in verse 18. So here we have another 1,765,032,024 souls killed again. And what's left of mankind now then is 3,530,064,048 souls. Beloveds, I'm letting you know that within the space of 7 years, the world population will be less than half. If we almost had breakdowns in during COVID and everything else that was going on with inflation and politics and everything, how will we keep our sanity in this? Yet mankind still won't repent, still harden their hearts, still want to do what they want to do. Literalism. Believe that these same verses portrays the latest inventions that are being stockpiled in the military arsenals around the world, preparing for Armageddon. Either way, it will be a devastating period of time as the remaining third of Earth inhabitants are destroyed by fire, smoke, brimstone, sulfur, and poisonous gases. At this point, several verses predicting the final war of fire should be considered. Psalms 97 and 3, a fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. Isaiah 66 and 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. Zephaniah 1:18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Joel chapter 2 and 3. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Them who? The army coming from the north. Then God says in Joel 2 and 20, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and I will drive him into the land barren and desolate, with his face towards the east sea, and his hinder parts towards the uttermost sea. And his sting shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things. This is the point of which the armies have pushed back to Siberia. Joel said it in Joel 2 and 30. And it sounds very similar to Malachi 4 and 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yeah, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Revelation 8 and 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of trees were burnt up, and all green grasses burnt up. Again, regardless whether we think this means natural or supernatural, it is going to be a catastrophic time on the earth. Personally, I believe that both the natural and the supernatural, both men and demons, will be involved in the tribulation. The demons are going to be there to torment mankind because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe that you, as a person that claim to believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, should reject any part of God's word and be led astray by doctrines of demons. I believe that we ought to make our election sure. I know I keep emphasizing, give your heart to the Lord today. But it is so important that we understand that if we miss the rapture, if we miss the evacuation of the church, you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble. You might die at the first part. You might have a heart attack when your loved one leaves. You might have a stroke when you find out that you wake up and your children are gone and your wife or your husband is gone and your mother is gone and your father. I don't know what will happen to you, but I'm telling you that one way or another, if you miss the rapture, you're going to pay the price. Revelation 9, 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not. Do you see that, beloved? And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. Now we now witness the release of 13 judgments so far, 7 seals and 6 trumpets. One would then think that after experiencing such devastation, mankind would begin considering where they're going to spend eternity. But according to Revelation 9, 20 and 21, not so. These unresponsive, unrepentive, hard-hearted people will continue in their sins of murder, sorceries, immorality, stealing. Sorceries here is paramiko, which implies an uncontrolled drug use, which will contribute to the pervasive, violent drug culture or religion. Those who are still alive continue to rebel. Wicked sinners do not give in easily. In fact, God's word tells us that men won't repent even after they have been in the regions of doom and the damned for centuries. Even then, they continue gnashing their teeth in an expression of their hatred towards God. Let me prove it to you. Matthew chapter 13, 41 and 42. The Bible said, the Son of Man shall send forth his angel, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so Revelation 9, 20 and 21 presents 5 major sins which permeate the tribulation time. Number one, the occult. Number two, murder. Number three, drug abuse. Number four, fornication, sexual orgies, lesbianism, transgender, and all of those LGBTQ and so forth. Number five, stealing and lying. Let us take a look at each of them a little further. Number one, the occult. The tribulation will be a time of pronounced devil worship. Anton Levy began the Church of Satan movement in San Francisco. Estimates reveal that tens of thousands in California alone are connected to this or some sort or some type of occult organization. We find that stores where satanic objects may be purchased are presently springing up everywhere nationally and internationally. Remember, beloved, God hates sin. According to Leviticus 19 and 31, the Bible said, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20 and 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Deuteronomy chapter 18, 10 to 12. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doeth drive them out from before thee. In addition to devil worship, each earth dweller of the tribulation worship idols made of gold, silver, brass, stone. And God hates idolatry. This practice breaks his holy law. The second commandment given by Moses in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. There are those today who knowingly or unknowingly breaks God's commandments by worshiping lifeless man-made idols. Their worship, however, is meaningless to God. The psalmist says in Psalms 115, verse 4 through 8, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouth, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Nose have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. God condemns idolatry past. He condemns idolatry present. And he will condemn idolatry in the future. During the tribulation hour, the world stepped into occultism. And idolatry progressed to the worship of the image of the beast, the Antichrist, who proclaims himself to be God in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he has God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This image made in his likeness, according to Revelation 13 and 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Without a doubt, the abomination of desolation spoken of in Matthew 24 and 15. When he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever read it, let him understand. The image, then, is placed in the temple in Jerusalem, and which brings great heartache to the Israelites of that day. We see that the world present search for occultism is paving the way for coming of the greatest religious imposter in history. Then we have the next one, number two, murder. During this time, murder becomes a sport, and judgment does not change the situation. The wicked refuse to turn from their brutality and the manner of living and killing. They find pleasure in killing people, maybe because terrorism is on the rampant. Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Noah's day was characterized by violence, according to Genesis 6:11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. In this time that we're now living, we're certainly leading up to the most terrifying day to come. We find that there are more killings today than ever before. There are no regard for life, whether it's children dying in school at a mass shooting, mass killing in the church house, mass shooting in banks, mass shooting everywhere you go. Killing is a sport now. It seems as if there is absolutely no remorse and there is no mourning and no grief and no change. Man, simply like COVID and like everything else, has made up in their mind to live with the tragedies. And so then we have the rise of drugs and sexual immorality and robbery and the lying, the final three, which are prevalent during the tribulation hour. We have them now. But beloved, I'm telling you, the last 7 years of the tribulation is going to be hell upon the earth. Because these last three, the drugs, which will lead to sexual immorality and robbery, are interrelated and have to do with sorceries, which is the drug abuse. Fornication, which is the practice of every conceivable sexual sin. And stealing will be on the rise. These sins indicate that bodies are being sold through prostitution. Burglaries are being committed in order to support the drug habit. Surely our time as the church upon this earth is about to end, and we must be prepared to meet our Savior. According to Amos chapter 4 and 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. So in conclusion of this chapter, let's spend a little time on the matter of drug abuse. There are a number of words used in the Bible to describe the subject of sorcery. Altogether, there are at least 27 references to sorceries and sorcerers and witches and witchcraft and the art of bewitching. Of these, at least 5 in the New Testament are especially pertinent, for they have a direct bearing on the day in which we now live, the present day drug addiction. In the book of the Old Testament and in the book of Acts, the term sorcery always means witchcraft or magic. And one should know the practice is continually and constantly condemned. 5 occurrences of the word sorcery in the New Testament, however, have to do with drug addiction. In these instances, the original Greek word is paramikia, from which we get the English term pharmacy. The literal meaning of the Greek is enchantment with drugs, or to get high on, or to get a kick out of the drugs. Medication prescribed by doctors are not part of this condemnation. The literal rendering in Revelation 9 and 21 that says, then is that men repent not of their enchantment with drugs during the tribulation hour. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Each of the 5 references must be carefully considered in the light of its context. Number 1, the present world condition has foretold in the prophetic scriptures. Number 2, the result of the drug addiction. Number 3, it is certain and it is definite that judgment upon the drug pusher as well as the drug user will finally come to bear in the tribulation. Number 5, the appraisal of this terrible sin in the sight of Almighty God will be judged. as previously stated, we can already see the dawning of the day of drugs and the spread of drugs and the use of drugs throughout all the different levels of society. Such a widespread use of drugs cannot help but bring its own destructions. Even amid all the trips that they have made in their minds, the expansion of the propaganda, not one drug user has ever been able to actually do more or be more efficient than he or she was before experimenting with that drug. The steady downward regression will climax at the close of the Great Tribulation, when the full cup of God's judgment is measured. The closing chapter of the book of Revelation graphically portrayed the terrible consequence of mankind's enchantment with drugs. What we are presently witnessing is only the beginning of the coming degradation or destruction of society during the tribulation period. Revelation 18 and 23 says this. Revelation 18, 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. So we see by their enchantments with drugs, or by getting high on drugs, were all the nations deceived. This is the result of mankind's first mass drug usage. Now, there is a change in the next occurrence of the word translated sorceress. The change reveals a class of people who are doomed, and it is found in Revelation 21 and 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorceress and idolatrous and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Greek word for sorceress in this text is paramecius. But the word paramecia means enchantment with drugs. Paramecius means the enchanter with drugs, the pusher, or the seller of drugs. This text plainly declares that eight distinct group of people will never get into heaven, but will rather be assigned to the lake of fire, a description that literally means hell. One of these groups are those who are enchanters or drug pushers. I want you people that sell drugs to people to realize that God will not let you get away with it unless you repent and you're sorry for your sins. What a solemn warning against having anything to do with this soul-damning drug trafficking, drug pushing, drug selling in this present hour. How can you know how God feels about this, but you continue doing it? There is another reference to sorcery in this book of Revelation, chapter 22 and 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Here again, the word is paramecius. Although the word is the same as the one found in Revelation 21 and 18, it has a deeper meaning in this context by extension. It includes both the drug pusher and the drug user. Take notice. These individuals are kept out of heaven because they would not be in heaven very long if they were admitted anyway, because there's only one place to which these drug dealers and these drug pushers can go, and that is to the place of eternal separation from the presence of God. That place is hell, the place prepared for Satan and his angels. In Matthew 25 and 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, he cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible is explicit in stating that there is no heaven for those who refuse to repent of their sins. In hell, they will keep sinning forever. They never repent because they cannot be saved, because our God hates sin. One additional word, witchcraft, with the same meaning, is found in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The word witchcraft in our English Bible is again paramikia in the Greek. We also see that this sin is number 6 in the listing of 17 kinds of sinners who shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The drug user and the drug pusher are both excluded from heaven. Is there no hope then for them to escape from the clutches of this binding habit? I want to encourage you and I want to let you know that there is a way, there is freedom, but it's only in Jesus Christ our Lord. According to 1 John 3:8, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you're hearing this podcast and it touched your heart, beloved, you can go to Jesus at any moment. It is the way of the cross that Jesus is going to save you. Jesus will break the grip that Satan has over your life. He will deliver you from using the drugs and selling the drugs, and he'll take the gun out your hand. He'll take sin, he'll wash you off, he'll clean you up. Now, when any guilty sinner calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, I want you to know he hears you immediately and he will free you from the shackles of sin and death. He'll set you free from that which binds you. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I recommend Jesus Christ. Why don't you call on him? There is no limit to the saving grace and the healing power and the delivering mercies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prepare yourself for chapter 10. Get ready to go. The church is on the move. God bless you.